Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The Wake Up Call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Here we are on May 30th. Another month almost gone by. May 30th, 2010, Memorial Day weekend. And just a reminder to everybody that while you're grilling or chilling, having a good time, listening to the radio for the next hour, please remember what the weekend is for. As a member from a family of military folk, some who did World War II, Korean War, etc., a little memory here for my grandfather, Howard Evans, great uncles, John Henley and Roger Messier, who recently passed away, and a thank you to them for the work that they did. And I believe that our guest was also in the military. Were you, sir?
Yes.
Rodney Thomas from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Mr. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning.
And you were in the Vietnam War, is that correct?
No, I was in Army during the Vietnam era. Yeah. I have to say that correctly because one fella got himself in trouble recently. No, just during the era.
Well, thank you for your work. 11:01 here on the Sunday of Memorial Weekend. Please remember those who are important to you and your family who did their work for all of us. Mr. Thomas is here today on what is turning out to be a nice, bright, sunny Sunday.
It is beautiful out there.
Although Rusty's not going to go play golf because it's too hot and sweaty, too humid for Rusty. I don't think anything takes Rusty away from his golf except his family.
I like 80 and up myself.
80 and up. Yeah, 80 and up is a good front nine for me. All right, we are going to talk about area political issues with Mr. Rodney Thomas here, but I think we'll carry over to several topics that are for all of our listeners. Like those in Lovingston on our 94.7. And let me give a shout-out to those at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports as you plan the rest of your weekend for supporting us today. Summer is almost here. I guess that's calendar-wise because it's going to be pretty hot. And Blue Ridge has lots of clothes for hot climates as well as sandals and camping equipment for outdoor adventures. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is also your headquarters for kayaks and canoes and stand-up paddle boats. The mountains are calling. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can be found in the Barrack Church Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and in Richmond at West Broad as well as Chesterfield Town Center. Online, brms.com. All right, Mr. Rodney Thomas, again, a Board of Supervisor member for Albemarle County and the Rio District. Elected just recently, right? November 2009?
Correct.
So still in your first, just finishing month number six.
Well, it's a little more than getting my feet wet. It's probably up to the top of my head now. It's been really, it's been taxing. It's been a lot of work.
Let me ask you, do you consider yourself a politician? I mean, because that's many
probably,
people, if you have to be elected,
yeah.
So many people say you're a politician, and that sort of changes what they think you might, should be doing.
Rick, I really would like to take the word politician probably out of my name altogether. I'm not so sure that a politician, I don't like going in front of people and saying things that can be done when I know they absolutely cannot. Sometimes it would probably get me in a little trouble, but I've always been above board. I am on the Sorenson Political Leadership Board, which is right in this neighborhood, as a matter of fact. I have been on that for about 10 years, and it's, we teach ethical politics, so I leave it at that.
All right, so you say you don't want to say things that can be done when they cannot. But give me some examples. What cannot be done or you believe cannot be done?
Well, I just don't think that you can go out in today's world and you can keep increasing the taxes and make the economy better. I feel like the tax rate, the way we kept it at this 74.2 cents was the logical thing to do at the time. That's one thing that I really think would not have worked if we had raised the tax rate. There were so many people out there that are right on the edge of the cliff, and that tax increase to them could have pushed them over the cliff.
Mr. Rodney Thomas here in the studio today here on May 30th, Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. We will be taking phone calls a little later in the hour, so stretch out those finger muscles if you want to call us up. Write the number down, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That is toll-free if you're a little further out or traveling today. Again, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Rodney Thomas, Albemarle County Board of Supervisors member. Let's talk about taxes. You mentioned it. Let's toss it out there first. Your platform for being elected, and I don't guess there's any other way to say that without, I mean, politician or not, what I have written down as three key parts of you getting elected, your platform: reducing taxes, getting them completing or at least beginning the Meadow Creek Parkway, and I said development, and you corrected me slightly outside with wanting to define development, and we're going to get into that. Did I miss a key part of the platform?
No, I think that pretty much covered my platform all the way through, and of course that platform turned into our action plan of action for Albemarle County. When in January the 6th we presented it, actually Mr. Boyd presented it, but every item in the plan of action was in my campaign. In my campaign, I didn't say I was going to reduce taxes, keep them low. That's what I said. Not increase taxes. That was the other term. And my pledge was to make sure that the Meadow Creek Parkway gets completed in its entirety. The other part of it was the economic development, which we're working very hard on getting a comprehensive, goal-oriented economic development plan set up. Economic development, to me, is not growth, so to speak. I have to define that a lot of times because a lot of people think that economic development is going to create more families moving here, which it possibly would. But we're trying to improve our tax base along the commercial lines by improving our economic development and making the statement we are open for business.
All right. And I brought that up because taxes was mentioned. So let's talk about the effort to not increase taxes. I think many people, that was a key factor in getting you elected. And it has been, it's hard to find many people to raise their hands to say, no, 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 let's increase taxes. So many people and many folks running for office would say, let's not increase taxes. What was your thought process in making that happen? You said many people being on the cliff, personally, financially, with their homes, their family budget.
My intention by not increasing the taxes to keep them low was to eventually, not eventually, but actually start cutting spending. Spending is our biggest problem right now. We seem to have been in a world of lots of money coming through Albemarle County's real estate collection taxes, and we created lots of extra expenses during that process, which now we don't have the money to keep those services up. So obviously, if your house, you would do the same thing. You would cut things out of your budget so you could cut your spending. Little saying is the budget is all about spending, not the income. And I believe if we can get the spending cut back quite a bit and manage it from the bottom up, in other words, only the needs, absolute needs that we are looking for in Albemarle County should be in the budget. And that means starting with a zero-based budget.
But you looked at me when you said that. At my house, if I didn't have the zero-based budget where I wasn't spending more than I was taking in, I would cut my expenses.
Right.
And that's true. But I wouldn't go out and ask my employer to cut my income No. at the same time. And by keeping the 74.2 tax rate, didn't the county cut their tax coming in as part of the county's income?
There is a 3.4 decrease in tax and revenue. The residential tax, everybody in the county that has a residence has realized a 3.7 decrease in their taxes. And the idea was to get the burden down. The rate is not really that important. It's the burden that they have to pay. And, of course, appraisals came down. So their tax burden is less now.
And I asked this, when I asked you to come on before we came in, my goal was not to be the jerk on the other side of the microphone putting you in a bad spot. But I do want to learn more about how these decisions are made, because I don't attend county meetings, and I'm not in the back room when the decisions are made. So these questions that I bring up are things that I want to learn more about. So, and if folks want to call up and ask appropriate questions for the topics at hand, please do so. We'll take phone calls in a short time. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And if we're going to start with the taxes, if you trim the budget, and I will agree 100%, you can't spend more than you bring in. And if the goal was not to increase what you're bringing in, and the goal was to spend what you're to cut what you're spending, fair enough. But when you trim what you're spending, aren't you also trimming the jobs of county members and therefore county families in that way? How does that play into the decision that's being made?
Right now, there has been a few positions that have been eliminated. There have been positions eliminated that there was no one in. They just took them out of the system totally. Planning department has lost 19 to other departments in the county because the planning department doesn't have as much to do today as they did have. I'll give you one example. The fellow that was the head of traffic was moved into social services, and that's actually his training. It wasn't traffic. So, I mean, that's one example, and then they're moving employees all through the building, and therefore attrition is eliminating the number of employees that we have. We're not replacing some positions.
Well, how does that save money if you're just removing a job that wasn't
because
filled?
You're losing one to retirement, for instance, or they leave the job and go to another place. You're not adding another employee. You're losing one, and you're moving one from one position over to the other to replace the one that left.
Do you know how many or what percentage are lost to attrition versus what number were lost?
I do not know, Rick. I'm sorry, but I know that we were working on. We have 55 positions that so-called had been eliminated, and the goal was 65. So,
when I was doing my homework, and again to stick with taxes, Rodney Thomas here, Albemarle County Board of Supervisors member. Specifically from the Rio District and recently elected in November 2009. I think I found this quote from you: won't tolerate one penny of tax increase unless it's justified.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious as to what would justify, what falls in the justification category.
Well, it goes back to the budget. I mean, when you're setting a budget up, I mean, my business is I don't set a budget up from the top down. I mean, I don't go.
What does that mean?
I don't go in and say, well, I had it last year, I'm gonna keep it this year.
Okay.
I start at the bottom. I start at my fixed costs. I have to have those in there, and then I build it up. Do I need this? Do I need that? Do I need this? And I go all the way up. And a lot of things are eliminated as I move up through because I don't absolutely have to have them.
And how do you, whether it's your business or your almost entirely non-paying job on the Board of Supervisors, how do you determine whether it's really needed or not? I mean, what's the protocol or what are the parameters to identify, well, we had it last year, and now I'm going to check to see if we really need it or not this year?
Well, as you're well aware, Albemarle County is an executive, county executive, which he is the CEO of Albemarle County. And everything goes through his office. From there, it goes down to the department heads. And we may pass something on to Mr. Tucker that will be passed on to a department head down through the chain, and then they put it all together and justify that employee being there. And that's how we figured it. Actually it's a final decision by Mr. Tucker, but he gives us the ideas.
You mentioned your own business, and you are the owner of Charlottesville Press.
Correct.
Is that a city or a county location? I mean, that pops into my head real quick.
It's city.
Okay. So your taxes for that go to the city.
Yes.
How are there any ways that you run your business differently than you do your work on the Board of Supervisors?
Well, for one thing, my business is not a $300 million a year budget. It's a whole lot smaller version, but in a smaller scale, my business is run pretty much like the way I'd like to see Albemarle County run.
What's different about the county? Just to step outside of the budget for a moment, because we have spent the last 10 minutes or so talking about taxes, and there's other categories and topics out there. But what's different about the way that the budget has been done versus what you're trying to do? What other things are different about the county versus a small business?
Rick, prior to, I'd say 3 years ago, budgets just, they just said, I'll keep it in there because they had plenty of money. Now it's come to a point that we have to really cut the fat, so to speak, out of the budget. And each department head has a list, they have to make their list of what they would like to see eliminated from their department. And they're actually making those basic decisions on who go, you know, what goes, what doesn't, and what stays.
Have you had anybody come to you and to say, how can you call my job fat?
I have not.
And what's the, you've had multiple meetings about the taxes, right? What's the most difficult part?
Not giving the schools what they wanted.
that's made a lot of news.
That was very, very difficult, Rick. It was.
And we're going to get into that certainly in a few moments. So that's the most difficult part about the taxes. What's the most difficult? If we take that one out, what's the most difficult part about the job in general?
Well, you know, we all care about our fellow Albemarle County residents, and most all of them that work for Albemarle County live in either the city or the county. And when you have to start, if you get into eliminating positions, then the human factor comes into it. That's the most difficult part of cutting the spending. But you have to make decisions on what is the best for Albemarle County overall.
Rodney Thomas, a member of Albemarle County's Board of Supervisors, here in the studio with us today. And we're talking about the job, the decisions that go along with it, and the important factors that fall into the laps in the minds of so many area residents. Call up with your question or comment for Mr. Thomas, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We'll just jump around from topic to topic as you have them. 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny, but a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms today in the upper 80s. Partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers tonight, lows in the mid-60s. And then again tomorrow, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. No rain forecast for Lynchburg or Richmond, but 50% chance over in the valley and highs in the low 90s. Right now in the valley, it's 81, 77 in Lynchburg, 80 in Richmond, 81 in Charlottesville, and it's a nice, beautiful day.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me give a shout out to Sugar Snap. They offer gently used baby and kid items, including shoes and hats, nursing pillows, as well as cloth diapers and diaper bags and other nursery gear. A kid-friendly play area is available while you shop. You can become a fan of Sugar Snap on Facebook or Twitter. More online at sugarsnapconsignment.com. All right, back with Mr. Rodney Thomas here in the studio today. Mr. Thomas, you're on the board of directors for Crime Stoppers.
Correct. I am.
And a long-term attachment and love for the fire department in our area.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about Crime Stoppers. How did you get involved with that? And with that position, what crime problems does our area seem to have the biggest concern with?
Well, I think one of the largest concerns are the gang situations that are cropping up. I don't think they're as bad here as they might be in other locations, but they still are happening, and they congregate around some of the shopping centers and shopping malls, and they make the business people get really nervous about all of them hanging around there.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that I know that some of the media reported a large fight in one of our shopping centers.
Yes, they did.
And is that what makes you say that? Are there other? I mean, I'm curious as to what makes you mention gangs? Because for many people in this area, they'd say gangs. You know, what are you talking about?
I said the same thing forever and ever too. But all the graffiti you see that's painted on, say bridges and things, a lot of it comes from the gangs, and they have symbols. I don't know what they all write off, but they have symbols that designate what they're doing and what they mean. And most of the symbols are my understanding is are evil symbols.
Have you do Crime Stoppers? Tell me how Crime Stoppers works. I mean, for many people, they know that hey, you call up with your report, and if it's found to be true and that leads to the arrest, you get your money.
You'll get a reward. Yes.
Why do they need to have a board of directors for that? What possible changes could be made to that simple theory?
Well, I don't think many changes can be made. We have county police department chief. We have the city police department chief. That's a board member, and they're active with the committee, and they're telling us what they need as far as help with the when they're looking for someone. And most people are very observant as to what's going on around them, and a lot of people I really mean this too. Don't really care if they get the reward or not. They do it because of how we promote catching these criminals.
Rodney Thomas here in the studio today as we talk about taxes. Now we're talking about crime a little bit. He is a member of the board of directors for Crime Stoppers. Mr. Thomas from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors in the Rio District. You're also a long-term attachment to the fire department.
Yes, Rick. I was on Seminole Fire Company's board of directors for 8 years. I've helped CARS, Charleston Albemarle Rescue Squad, raise funds I'm since 94, and I'm real interested in all of that, the volunteers. The volunteers are the heartbeat of our rescue and fire system in the county. We have 715 volunteers between fire and the rescue. I've also helped Crozet raise money, Scottsville raise money, Ravana raise money. I've just been always active in it. So consequently, I got appointed to be the board of supervisors, representative to fire and rescue.
How do you help so many different places raise money? Because if you called my number to raise money for CARS, okay. But then if you called my number again to raise money for Seminole, and then you called me again to raise money for Crozet, at some point I'm going to go, Mr. Thomas, please take me off that list.
Well, I haven't been literally myself making the calls. I do own a printing company, and they have to have brochures. They have to have mailings. And that's how I help them. Now, with CARS, I'm actively involved myself. But all the others, I help them with their printing and their brochures and mailings.
You're active at CARS. What Active in what way?
Just raising funds.
I mean, have you ever been in the ambulance? Have you ever been on the fire truck? I mean, have you ever been involved in that way?
I've been on in a couple of cars calls, and they are very efficient. They're very professional. The best I've ever seen. Of course, I haven't been around too many, but they are ranked pretty high in the country as far as their size and being a totally volunteer rescue squad.
Are you trained in any way?
I'm not trained. The only thing I'm trained on is I'm a CPR, and I have to have that for my work. You know, we have to have one CPR person at my work.
You have to have CPR. Oh, at the
printing company.
Journal Hill Press.
Yeah.
All right. 11:25 on the wake up call. Talking with Rodney Thomas. We'll open up the phone lines now. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN rocks. You can send us an instant message. WNRN Studio at the AOL site. If you have questions or comments, the school stuff is still out there waiting for us to dive into that, and you can bring that up. Here's an instant message question from Jim in Crozet. I want you to talk about the Restore In station that's going up on 250 West. All right, I know a little bit about this, so I can bring it up. There's a large, or the design for this incredibly large 24-hour gas station that will also handle 18-wheelers, et cetera, and that's getting comments from both sides in terms of it being too large, it being too close to the school system. They're already being two much smaller locally owned projects, C-stores, I guess, or whatever there. Jim wants to know your thoughts on the Restore In station that's being planned.
Well, it may be something needed on a smaller scale than I'm not 100% sure that it's going to be a truck stop. I know the people that are developing it have been accused of making it a truck stop. I can't really comment on that, honestly. I've been in on the ARB hearings twice about it, and they went back and forth trying to design the building, and the ARB made them make things smaller. I don't know where exactly they are on that right now, but if it's smaller and it's not a truck stop, I would think it would probably be a fairly good business along there. But then again, I'd have to see all the reports on it that the ARB does, the Board of Planning Commission, and then it comes to us. I would like to see all of that, and I'm sorry I can't make a total commitment on it right now.
Is your past is, and I didn't take this note for myself, are you a former member of the ARB?
No, I was a planning commission member. Planning Commission, yes.
Okay. Let's talk about economic development for a second. As a member of the Planning Commission, I would assume that falls into your lap frequently.
Well, when I was on the commission, I was appointed in 98, and I came off in 05, so I was 8 years on the Planning Commission. I can remember going to a meeting. Barb DeMurier used to be the director for the Thomas Jefferson Economic Development. And I went to three meetings and came back to our commissioners' meeting. I was excited about economic development, not growth, economic development, maintaining what we've got, try to keep what we've got, don't lose them, without paying them to stay. So I announced that I had been to these meetings, and I got the surprise of my life. Albemarle County was not a member at that time. That would have been probably 99 or even maybe 2000. And this happened. And we went on to the first application and had the public hearing open, and a note was slid over to me, Rodney, we are not a member. And, of course, I blurted out what right in the middle of the public hearing, and then I had to apologize to everybody. I just couldn't believe that Albemarle County was not part of did not have an economic development membership, or we didn't even have an economic development plan in the comprehensive plan.
Why is that?
Well,
I mean, is that decision? Is that just the way government planning sometimes goes, oh, we forgot to list them? Or was that a decision that somebody from Albemarle County said, not involved?
Not involved. The statement was, we don't need to be a member of the economic development. Thomas Jefferson Economic Development. We don't need to be a member. And I thought we did. And I'm glad we are now.
All right, so let's talk about some of the economic development plans. Before I came in today and was talking with friends, was talking with customers at where I work about you being the guest, and somebody said to me, "Will you ask him about the damn signage rules?" And Albemarle County has some fairly strict rules for business signs and business. I mean, the way the businesses are built. I'm also under the impression that there are some changes being made to that. Am I right or wrong about
that?
You're
right. There are some relaxation of some of the regulations, so to speak. I wouldn't call it zoning. Is what it is. They come under zoning. There are going to be some relaxations on it. And our goal is not to make. I always use this as an example, not to make our streets and roads around here, around Charlottesville, look like Route 3 going into Fredericksburg. If you're familiar with that, it's not going to look like that. The goal would be to be able to tell where the business is. I mean, I've had people tell me, I've written them down 29 two or three times, and I can't find a business. Well, they go back by it, and they see a little six-inch sign saying this is where it is. That's not good for safety. I mean, people just, they're gawking, trying to find the sign. And we're trying to make the sign just a little more visible for safety and so that the people can find the businesses. We're not trying to have humongous signs. There are ordinances there that a sign can be 54 square feet. Nobody's ever used it. They haven't wanted to. And it doesn't need to be a blaring out, blinking neon, you know, lights running around the edge. It doesn't need to be that. It just needs to be readable from the highway. And that's what we're trying to do.
But you say that the sign could be 54 feet, but nobody ever uses it.
No.
But it seems to me that can't be the complete answer to the question, because otherwise somebody would use it.
No, nobody has ever used it. I don't know that they've even I don't think they've recommended it to them. I wouldn't recommend a sign that large unless it was a shopping center that had 40 stores that you could
like list on each Route one. 3 on your way into Fredericksburg.
Well, not that big. No, that is a big one. That thing must be 100 feet tall. Yeah, that's nothing that big. No, I would hope not.
We have so many businesses in this county who complain about the signs. It just seems, I just find it difficult to understand how so many hundreds, thousands of businesses all find the county rules to be unfair, if indeed they're not, which is what I hear you somewhat implying, but without coming out to say that.
I don't think I don't think all of them are unfair. I think in some instances they are. I mean, just for instance, I mean, if you built a store and you want to be recognized from a highway that has 75,000 cars on it every day, and that's where you're going to get your people in there. And it's designed to put a berm up all the way down in front of them. You can't see a single sign up in the parking lot up in there. That's what I mean by the advertisers. The people that are in business need to have their signs to be seen. They don't have to be neon signs. They can be able to see them.
And that falls into the economic development.
Well, that's part of it. That we are open for business. That's part of it. Yeah. Now let me back up just a minute. Also, Rick, there is going to be. These things I'm saying are not set in stone as of right now. There is a round table set up, and haven't seen the list of who's invited, but I'm sure there's some business people are invited. Local residents are being invited to come to this round table and to throw ideas on the table, and then the planning department will, zoning department will pass them on to the planning commission and then pass them on to us. It's not going to be me or any one person on the board of supervisors making that decision. It's going to be a round table, and then it'll go through the process.
Rodney Thomas here with us today on May 30th, Sunday of Memorial Weekend. Please remember what that's for as you enjoy your weekend. If you have a 3-day weekend, people ask me, what are you doing on Monday? I'm going to work. the business that I'm involved with is open, and many of you would be quite upset if we weren't open on Monday, May 31st. 11:35 here, Rodney Thomas in the studio. Dial us up if you have a question, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free. So let's go back to the taxes. I didn't want the school issue to take up the entire hour, but seems like a good time to bring that out now. You said that that was your most difficult decision, or the thing that bothered you most was not being able to give the schools everything that they wanted.
Yeah, they really are passionate, and I understand that. There's a lot of things I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about fire and rescue. I'm passionate about having police protection. They don't have an increase in their budget. Matter of fact, we're down in numbers for police officers. I know we're five down at least, and they left through attrition. They weren't dismissed or laid off. Firemen, we have career firemen. Thank goodness we have all these volunteer firemen, because we wouldn't be able to do what we do in Alamo County for fire protection. We have a fantastic sheriff's department. And thank goodness there again that we've got all of these volunteer deputy sheriffs, that don't get paid, and they do just about everything. They do everything actually, as a regular deputy does. As long as there is a on duty deputy with them, they can perform the same duties. Those things are needed much. I mean, just as much in the county as anything else. The schools, I love education. I think it's the roots of where we're going to get 20 years from now. Where are we going to be 20 years from now with these uneducated kids? But I also believe that we can educate our children just as well with a little bit less money. And until I'm proven differently, I'm going to keep saying that.
And how do we do that?
Well, we know we've got mandates right now that could be eased. I don't think they ever will be eased at all. It would be nice if they could be eased up, and that would cut some funding money. We don't get any money from the state on the mandates or federal government, and they're the ones that are saying you have to have them. So, you know, if they could be relaxed a little bit.
And do you think that relaxing the mandates allows the education to stay the same, just the same, but with less money?
I probably would say no. I think the No Child Left Behind needs to definitely stay there. SOLs, sometimes I get kind of shaky on those, but I think they're doing a good job with it. But a kid has to have SOL qualifications to get a diploma from high school. You don't get through it. And I feel like that's probably necessary too. But it's a double check. It checks the teacher and it checks the student.
All right. So if we... My original question was, you know, how do we, I don't even remember what the heck my original question was, but it had to do with how do we keep the education the same but with less money? And your original answer was, well, the mandates could be eased, but then you followed up by saying if the mandates are eased, you don't think that might deter the education.
I think it might. It wouldn't be as equal from top to bottom if we eliminated that or even eased it up. I think it's there for a purpose of the equality and to make sure no child gets left behind.
So then if we ease the mandates to save a little money, we drop the education a little bit. But if we keep the mandates to keep the education up, then we don't have the money that we need. That's what I heard.
That's about what I said.
Okay, so
yeah, that's right.
So I come back to the original question about how do we keep the education the same by cutting some money?
Well, you know, you like I said just a little bit earlier, five years ago, we were floating in money just going through the system, and we increased everything we did. We added programs, and once you add the programs, they're very difficult to take away or to reduce. And my question is, can the school board, the schools in Alamo County, can they reduce some of their needs or wants, I should say, reduce some of their wants so we could save a few dollars? The board of supervisors is not involved in their every nook and cranny of their budget. We are the ones that actually sort of, you could say, we sign the check of how much they get. Internally, they do all the cutting. I haven't divvied into too many areas except for transportation that I thought we could save some money, and they were able to cut some money out of transportation.
So I give you your allowance. You may spend it how you want, but don't come back and ask me for more allowance.
Well, there are times they will have to come back. Like right now, we're experiencing a situation with fire and rescue. We've got to buy two more trucks, some more equipment, and we also had we lost a fire truck, a tanker, through one of the fire companies. The truck was destroyed in an accident. And of course it's a tanker. It's got water that slushes that turned it over and it rolled and got to checking on the insurance, and we were $75,000 short on replacing the truck. So we've got to come up with $75,000 to replace that truck just like it was. I mean, that's one example.
11:41 here on the wake up call with, Albemarle County Board of Supervisor member Rodney Thomas here in the studio today, 11:41.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, The Hook asks local guys to make this year's summer guide, from the traditional suggestions of golfing and hiking to the unexpected plans for yard sales and gardening. The wheres and whens are shared, including the locations of a few secret swimming holes. What could be Albemarle's most spectacular foreclosure ever, totaling $17+ million, is coming up. Find out the when and where of that in this week's issue. And do we have enough doctors to help our aging population? An interesting and important essay in The Hook. Antibacterial. And let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts and sportswear, professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online brgtshirts.com. And at noon, it's Les Temps Purdue here on WNRN with Drew Thompson. Tune in to hear the best from college, alternative, and underground music from the 80s and 90s. And remember, at least one song heard during the second hour of Les Temps Purdue will be featured on the Plan 9 pop quiz later in the week. All right, back in action with Mr. Rodney Thomas. Again, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Let's get back to the school issue. Most people in the county don't have kids.
That's exactly right.
Is that one of the reasons that some people are okay with trimming the school budget? Because the issue is now and my family needs, and not later with county leaders?
Well, you know, there was a large number of people that came to our hearing on the budget when the budget was presented, when it was a public hearing. And I think we had 124 people, it may have been more than that, but I think it was 124, came forward. And out of that 124, I would say probably 120 were asking for a tax increase in their residential tax, real estate tax. It was pretty impressive, that all this group that came in and came forth. We even had a few people come in and have check in hand and laid the check up on the counter and actually gave it to Mr. Tucker. So,
but weren't most of the people who came into that meeting people with kids going to school?
They were parents, and they were also teachers. They were also associated with the educational system.
So that's right, personal concern.
Well, you know,
I come from a family of teachers. My mom teaches, aunts. One of my sisters is currently elementary school teacher, not in this particular county. So I say that, waiting to get a nasty message when I get home from somebody. But isn't that a little different when you have a personal investment in the topic?
Well, again, they're passionate about the education. And they came in and they, so to speak, they really pulled out pity strings. And I have to admit, it was heart-wrenching. It was very, very heart-wrenching. Education, again, I'll say it. Education is at the top of my heap. But it can't be at the top of the heap at the loss of revenue to other people. I mean, I think it's got to be across the board, and we need to have a sustainable budget going forward. And if we keep increasing it, we're not going to have a sustainable budget. And then the tax rate should go to, what, $1.20, $100? I mean, to do what we want to do. I mean, if that's what the county residents, if I had a majority of people in Rio District would call me and tell me, email me, that they want their tax increased to support education for whatever they want, I would say okay. I would support that constituency and support the increase in tax. But it's not that way, Rick. When we were going through the budget process, I received about 140 emails to increase the tax. Now, Rick, I'm one of those that could afford a tax increase. I am. But there's a lot of people that can't. Now, in the emails and not wanting an increase, I got 500 that said they do not want an increase or thank you for not raising the tax rate. To me, that's the majority of my – that's the majority to me. And so that's why I carry this flag of keeping taxes lower and – working on the spending part of our budget rather than the income.
Do you think that there will come the time when the numbers might reverse? Or is there, I had this conversation several months ago with a friend who said, why can't we have two sets of tax rates? If you don't, 74.2 is what everybody has to pay. If you have kids who are going to county schools, then it's 76.2 or 79 or whatever. So that because, and you're welcome to call up and argue the, I know that everybody will benefit from the kids in the school system. Believe me, my mother, my sisters, etc. And I'm not disagreeing with that. But there are many, and I would assume that it falls into the 500 emails you got of people who are happy that the tax didn't go up, who say, you want to pay for the schools, you pay for the schools. Everybody uses the water. Everybody uses the fire department. Everybody needs the social services in some way. That could be argued.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The schools, I don't have any kids in school. Why am I part of the $3 billion school budget? Do you think that that would ever be a possibility?
I haven't heard anyone, no one contacted me, email or phone calls or anything, saying, I don't want to pay taxes because I don't have children in school. Everybody that I ever got on that subject with has no children in school were more than willing to pay their portion. They just didn't want the increase in the tax rate.
Is that a... is that one of the they're just arguing with themselves? They're not really understanding the point. I mean, I don't want the I want the schools to get as much money as they need. I just don't want my taxes to go up. To me, that seems like you're disagreeing with yourself.
Could be. But most people just don't want that tax increase. They don't care if they're paying money on towards school education and they don't have children in school. I mean, I've got some people in my area that don't have any children in school, but yet they're paying tuition because it's their choice to put their children in a private school. Well, they're not asking for a tax credit. Most everybody I talk to about that subject, they were more than happy to pay their portion towards Albemarle County's educational system. And then the choice of putting their children in a private school is theirs, and that's the way they do it.
Are there other parts of the county budget that you envision with time upcoming having larger cuts so that the county school system can get some of the money back that they recently lost?
Rick, right now we are the school wasn't the only division that lost. I mean, the general government lost a lot. I mean, we'd already cut ours. I mean, it has been cut over the last 3 years.
Do border supervisors get paid?
Yes.
Okay. I would think that you heard that once or twice about volunteer for your own job.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard that yet.
Really? Okay, I'm first in line. Volunteer for your own job, Mr. Thomas, and give that money to the county school system.
Well, that's an idea. It's an idea.
Continue on with my previous question.
Well, if you can unjustify my 40, 50 hours a week I put into Board of Supervisors.
I'm not going to do that in the last 10 minutes of the program.
Rick, it's not the money. It's not. I'm not doing it for the money. I enjoy the involvement. I was born and raised here in Charlottesville, in the city. And I've lived in this area all of my life. And I love Alamore County. I love the people here. I don't want to see Alamore County get messed up. I would like to see us move in the direction of a sustainable budget. And with the spending the way it's going, it's not going to be sustainable.
11:51 here on the Wake Up Call with Mr. Rodney Thomas, who joined us here on this beautiful Sunday. He's an Albemarle County member of the Board of Supervisors. Back in April, there was a meeting with the Charlottesville City Council.
Yes,
with
April
the Albemarle 24th. Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, and school boards.
And part of that meeting, to my understanding, was to talk about the city and the county sharing more functions, and I assume to save money, because that would trim some of the infrastructure. You would still need to pay for however many kids and go to the city and county schools. You'd still need to pay for 20,000 kids to go to school, but you could not you could trim some of the infrastructure that you have now by having two separate areas taking care of that.
Yeah, that's the goal. We have split up in groups with school board members on a committee, supervisors on a committee, and city council. So I think it's four different committees, and I'm sorry, but I can only think of actually two of them right now, fire and rescue, because I'm one of them on that, and Ann Malik is the alderman from the county. David Brown is from the city, and I don't know who the others are. But hopefully we can discuss ways of cooperating more to save both parts money. I'm not so sure consolidating at this point. I'm not so sure that would work. We'll have to talk about it. I'm going into all of that with as big an open mind as I can have, because I don't want to close the door on anything that will save Albemarle County money and the city of Charlottesville money at the same time.
Many people would say that, what word did you just use? Cooperating is not something that the city and county do very well.
Well, we do a lot of things together, but I'm not saying we're not cooperating. We are, to a point. I think we could do better. Collaborate is a word that I'm not fond of, but you have to collaboratively. I think we need to do this in a cooperative manner. We've got to have it's got to be a sort of relaxed collaborative discussion, so each party can pick out what they would like to see changed or shared.
The city and county remind me of the divorced parents with the kids still in school. You cooperate just enough to try and keep the stress off the kids, and with their future goals to be as best that they can be. But behind the scenes, not always so nice.
Well, I think it can be a whole lot better. The news media really puts an evil twist on most sound bites and most articles. And, you know, neither party is being evil. We're being as congenial with each other as we possibly can be. But I think the news media creates a lot of tension. For instance, the composite index that our school board wanted to get that $2.6 million, whatever it was. I mean, that's something that is Albemarle County Schools money. It's not something that we're taking away from the city. Albemarle County deserves to get it because we are giving the city $18 million, and it's not taken off of our riches. In other words, the state thinks we have $18.5 million more than we really have. So that's one thing that we need to get straightened out with the city. I know the suggestion hit the floor to put that on the back burner until we can get through all this, and it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. That's the thing I mean about cooperate. We can't go about this thing saying, you're just trying to steal that money from us. The city is telling the county that. And the county can't go about it saying, well, you need to give us that money right now. I think it needs to be a more cooperative way. And maybe in even using the revenue sharing money to share on certain things like KTEC, CTS, I mean, even fire and rescue. Maybe we could take some of the revenue sharing money and build two firehouses. One on Ivy Road, which they're going to move over on Fontaine, which wrecks our fire system in the county, and then put the other one on Pantops over at Peter Jefferson Place, and let the city and county own both of them together. And then that way, the trucks at each station can come in the city or the county, either way. That's the cooperation I'm talking about.
11:56 on the wake-up call. Just a few minutes left with Rodney Thomas from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And let me give a shout out to Ben Around Tattoos. They're in downtown Waynesboro, featuring male and female tattoo artists. Ben Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available and can create work from a design you provide. Ben Around Tattoos is in downtown Waynesboro or locally 701 West Main Street here in Charlottesville. For more information online, benaroundtattoos.com. Mr. Thomas, you said cooperate and collaborate. Cooperate is good, collaborate, not really.
The reason I use the word collaborate kind of in a different tone of voice, I'm not a collaborative person in a way of doing things.
Define collaborate for me.
Well, collaborate means
you start taking a negative tone on somebody who doesn't like it.
You're going to go into a discussion with an open mind, and both parties are going to be relaxed, and they're going to talk it over face to face and put it all on the table. That's collaboratively. Now, there's a lot of things I wouldn't do collaboratively. I wouldn't want to set an ordinance collaboratively because it's kind of a cut and dry thing. It's either right or wrong. Now, that's what I mean by collaborate.
A few minutes left, talk about that April meeting, sharing more functions and the goals of saving money and to make those functions better. Social services, how do you make social services better between the two? How do you save money?
That's probably a hard one to tackle. In the county, our social services department is fantastic. It's not as large money-wise as the city's. The culture in each area is totally different. I just worked real hard to try to get our social services some money back because of the brutality to children. Lost $48,000, I think it was, which they need. And I haven't succeeded yet. I still would like to give that back to them. Social services, oh boy, that would be a hard nut to crack at this point because of the difference in the two areas. I think they can start doing some things together, cooperate. Now, being together, I don't know. If there were one part of it would lose a lot of money, would have to pay a whole lot more money than they are right now, and that would be Albemarle County.
All right. We never even got to Meadow Creek Parkway. I'm going to do a show in the Meadow Creek Parkway before the year is up. I'd like to invite you back to participate in that.
I'd love to.
Mr. Rodney Thomas from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, this program will be up on the Seaville News site as a podcast, hopefully in the next day or two. Mr. Thomas, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Rick. Have a good day.
Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Network. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.